So this morning, we're continuing our series called Blessed. How many of you can say, God has blessed me? Amen. Hands up everywhere. God, say, God has blessed me. Just wave at me this morning. Okay, you can put your hands down. Now, how many of you will be really, really honest with me and say, I'd love to be even more blessed? Can anybody say that? It's all right. Listen, this is a safe place. Listen, we won't tell nobody. It's all right. You can say, I want to be more blessed. Don't be ashamed, all right? Listen, if you want to be more blessed, then Acts 20, 35 is for you. Jesus said, the way to be more blessed is through giving. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So according to him, here's how you get greater blessings in your life. Not by getting more, but through giving more. And if I could summarize this entire series, it would be this one sentence. The key to a blessed life is a heart of generosity. Now, 2 weeks ago, I gave you some ground rules through this series, and I'm going to give them to you again today. Rule number one is have an open heart. Tell somebody, have an open heart. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, that whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion or because the pastor makes you feel guilty, but do it from what you've determined in your heart, for God loves a cheerful giver. Listen, the Bible says that we give not based on guilt or compulsion or rules, but we give based on what we've determined in our heart. So I'm not here today to trick you into giving. I'm here to tell you the word of God, and I ask that you do this one thing. Have an open heart towards God this morning, all right? I had a friend of mine about 4 years ago. He said, hey, man, I was sitting at home the other day, and I was in the recliner watching TV, and I was flipping through the channels, and I came across this TV preacher. And he said, as soon as I saw him, I threw down the remote because it was like he was staring right at me. And he pointed his finger into the camera and he said, sir, you just flipped through the channels and you just turned on this channel and you feel like I'm looking right at you. And he said, sure enough, he was looking right at me. And then he said, you are sitting at home and you're sitting in a brown recliner. And he looked down and he said, hey, I'm sitting in a brown recliner. And then the televangelist said, and you're wearing a Duke University sweatshirt. And sure enough, he had a blue devil right here on his chest. Y'all pray for him that God will deliver him. But he was wearing a Duke shirt. And then the preacher said, and you know what? On the side of that Duke shirt, there's a red stain that goes from right here to right there. And he said, no way. There's a red stain on my shirt that goes right here to right there. And he said, sir, you're watching, you tuned in this evening, and you're eating Cheetos and you're drinking a Mountain Dew. And he said, oh, I'm eating Cheetos and I'm drinking a Mountain Dew. He said, sir, God is telling you to send $1,000 into my ministry. And he said, whew, for a minute there, I thought he was talking about me. He didn't have an open heart. Tell somebody you need to have an open heart. Listen, we're not after your money this morning. We're after your heart today. So number one is have an open heart. And number two, remember that being blessed is about more than just money. The blessings of God have a lot more to do than just finances. Listen, if you limit God's blessings to financial blessings, you are seriously selling yourself short when it comes to the blessings of God. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. God wants to bless you not just financially, but God wants to bless you in all areas of your life. Amen? Listen, biblical prosperity has very little to do with money. Don't get me wrong, God wants to bless you and provide for you, but there are far greater blessings out there. So I want you to tell somebody, it's more than money. All right, so rule number one, have an open heart. Don't be like my buddy eating Doritos and drinking Mountain Dew. Have an open heart. Number two, know that being blessed goes far beyond financial blessings. Okay? So this morning, I'm going to talk about a principle I call the principle of the first. And this principle can be applied to many things. It can be applied to just about any area of your life. But today we're going to specifically talk about the principle of the first when it comes to financial matters. So today, don't get nervous in the service, but we're going to talk about money for just a little bit. Why? Because money matters. It matters to God, and it should matter to us too. Listen, how many of you believe that prayer is important? How many of you would just wave and say prayer is very important when it comes to our relationship with God? You can put your hands down. Listen, in the Bible, you can't be a strong Christian if you don't pray. Okay, in the Bible, there are 500 verses that talk about prayer. Somebody say, that's a lot of verses. But did you know that there are over 2,000 Bible verses that talk about money? Mm-hmm. See, money matters. And I don't teach a lot on money because I think sometimes churches get extreme and they kind of get out of their lane and go off course sometimes. And I don't want to talk about money all the time. I think some churches focus too much on money. But if the Bible has a lot to say about it, I think God wants us to know his perspective. Do you believe that? So let's talk about the principle of the first. And I'm going to sum up my whole message in one sentence, and that is this: God comes first. Come on, look at somebody, stare at them. Come on, look them in the eyeballs this morning and tell them, make them nervous, say, God comes first. That's my whole message this morning. Now, I could say amen and we could go, but I want to elaborate just a little bit. God comes first. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. You see, Jesus said, seek God first, then everything else will come. If you will, turn with me to Exodus chapter 13. This is going to be really our main section of the Bible today in Exodus 13. And we'll start out in the Old Testament, and then we're going to end up in the New Testament. But there's an important principle here that you need to understand. Exodus 13, starting in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal. So God is saying, all of the firstborn, they belong to me. Now look down at verses 12 and 13. And this is what I want you to pay attention to. And this is probably going to get your attention anyway. This is what the commandment of God said to Moses. You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Now this is some strong language in the Bible. This is a strong command from God. And I know that this seems harsh, but what I want you to understand, what God is saying to his people is this: if you don't give it to me, you're going to lose it anyway. If you don't give it to the Lord, you're going to lose it anyway. And then God says, redeem every firstborn among your sons. Some of you may be wondering why on earth I would use those verses today, but there is a very, very important principle at work here, okay? And it's called the principle of the first. Somebody say the principle of the first. And the principle of the first is important to understand. It's important to understanding why God comes first, why we give the first to God, and what this has to do with our everyday lives, okay? So this morning, I'm going to tell you three things about the principle of the first to help you understand it. Point number one is this: the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. That's the first aspect of the principle of the first. The firstborn must either be sacrificed or redeemed. Now let me give you the difference between these two and talk about it for a little while. The Old Testament teaches us, and again, I know this is Old Testament, but 1 Corinthians 10 says that everything in the Old Testament is an example for us as believers today. Everything in the Old Testament is symbolic and points us to Jesus Christ. So it's really all about Jesus. But even the Old Testament was written for our benefit. So what's the instruction or the example for us in Exodus 13? It's this: the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Those are your two options for the firstborn. It's sacrificed or redeemed. If you had an animal and your animal was considered a clean animal according to Old Testament guidelines, then you would sacrifice the firstborn of that animal. But if you had an animal that was considered an unclean animal, then you had to sacrifice a clean animal to redeem the unclean animal. Are you following me this morning? Now, was this God being cruel to animals? Was this God's way of punishing people? Was this some dark side of God that we don't understand in the Old Testament? Not at all. This is a spiritual principle that God wanted to teach his people. Again, everything in the Bible points to Jesus. I want you to think about it. If it's unclean, it has to be redeemed by the sacrifice of the clean. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Were we born clean or unclean? Right? We were born unclean. Come on. Listen. The Bible says that we have all sinned. David said in Psalm 51 that we were born into sin. So you and I, we were born unclean. And let me prove it to you. Listen, did you have to teach your child how to be bad, or did it come naturally to them? Come on. That's not a little angel. That's a viper in a diaper. Come on, somebody. You don't have to teach your children how to be bad. They figure that out on their own. It's your job to teach them how to be good, right? You see, that's what you call human nature. We're all born with a human nature. We're all born spiritually unclean. But now let me ask you this. Was Jesus born clean or unclean? Jesus was born clean. And that's a big deal because Jesus was the first and the only one to be born clean. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way, but he did not sin. So we were born unclean. Jesus was born clean. And here's what happened. The clean had to be sacrificed to redeem the unclean. You see, that's exactly what we just read in Exodus 13. God is giving us a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. If something is born unclean, it has to be redeemed by the clean. Do you see what's going on? Are you following me this morning? All right, so when Jesus died on the cross, God was sacrificing his firstborn so that we could be redeemed. Colossians calls Jesus the firstborn over all creation. He was the firstborn that was sacrificed to redeem us. And this is extremely important because if you're going to understand the principle of the first, you have to understand that the firstborn is given first. Notice that God didn't say in Exodus, once your sheep and your cattle have a whole bunch of offspring, then give me the first one. No, God didn't say that. God said, give me the first one first, and then I'll bless the rest. Okay, that's the principle of the firstborn. Let me prove to you that this is how God operates, okay? The perfect example of this is Jesus Christ. God gave Jesus in hope that we would give our lives to God. God didn't wait to see if you and I were going to be good people or nice people. He didn't wait to see if we were going to straighten up. No, he gave Jesus first. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I want you to think about that. God gave Jesus first before anybody ever believed in him. And that is the principle of the first. You give God the first so the rest can be blessed. Let me give you another example of giving the first to God up front. Believe it or not, you're actually doing it right now. Because in the Old Testament, the Jews would worship on the Sabbath. But we don't worship on the Sabbath. We worship on Sunday. And there are two reasons for that. Number one, because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday morning. But the other reason why we worship on Sunday is because we give God the first thing first. We're giving God the first day of our week. You see, if you give God the first of the week, then the rest will be blessed. If you give God the first portion of your day, the rest of your day will be blessed. If you give God the first portion of your income, the rest will be blessed. Some of y'all were about to shout till I said that. But listen, this is the principle of the first, and it is at work. It is a principle established by God. We give God the first so the rest can be blessed. Listen, that rhymes. So y'all just say that with me. Come on, tell somebody, we give God the first so the rest can be blessed. So according to the Bible, if you have a sheep and your sheep has a lamb, you have to give the first one to God so that the rest that haven't got here yet, the rest that are yet to come, will be blessed by God. You don't wait to see if the sheep will have other lambs. No, you give God the first up front so the rest can be redeemed. And that's the law of the firstborn. This is found all throughout the Bible. Number one, the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Number two, the first fruits must be offered to God. So number one, we're talking about the firstborn. Now we're talking about the first fruits. Okay, you can stay there in Exodus 13 because we're going to come back to that. But let me read you a few scriptures. The Bible says in Exodus 23:19 that the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Notice that it doesn't just say the first fruits, it says the first of the first fruits. God gets the very first. The Bible says the first of the first is God. Somebody say God comes first. So what we do is we give God the first of the first, and the rest is blessed. Now again, this isn't just talking about finances. This is a spiritual principle that works in every area of your life. You put God first and everything else will be blessed. That's why Jesus said, seek God first and everything else will be added to you. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, for those of you who don't know, Proverbs is not a book of the law. Proverbs is not a book of commandments. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. So this verse here is not a commandment from God. It's the wisdom of God. And if you want to be a wise man, here's what you do. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits. So God gets the first of the first. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you do. God's always going to be first. Okay, I want you to understand that God is always first. That is just who He is. That's what we call the preeminence of God. He's above all, before all, higher than all, and first of all. And part of honoring God is acknowledging Him by putting Him first in your life. Colossians 1:18 says that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. Somebody say, God comes first. And you see this in the New Testament. You see this in the Old Testament. When the Israelites went to conquer the promised land, here's what God said. God commanded them. He said, give me all the silver and gold from Jericho. I want you to think about this. They're getting ready to wage war on a whole league of nations. These are the people of God about to invade an entire region. And they didn't come to take sides. They came to take over. And they're getting ready to go. And God had set them free. They were slaves in Egypt. God delivered them. And here they were. They had nothing. About to wage war. And if you know anything about war, wars cost money. There has been more money spent on war than anything else in human history. And here they were getting ready to begin the war. And according to human logic, if anybody needed the silver and gold, it wasn't the house of God. It was the people doing battle. If anybody needed the silver and the gold from Jericho, it wasn't the temple of God. It was the army of Israel. But God commanded them. He said, no, it's mine. When you go to Jericho, the silver and the gold belongs to me. Why did God tell them that? Because he was telling them, you put me first and the rest will be blessed. You put me first and I'll bless the other military conquests. And we know from the Bible, when they failed to put God first, when Achan held back a portion of the spoils from Jericho, when they went to the next city, God didn't bless them. They had to put first things first. They had to get that right with God before He would bless the rest. So this principle is all throughout the Word of God. There's another Bible passage that confuses a lot of people. It's the story of Cain and Abel. How many of you guys are familiar with the story of Cain and Abel? Look, if you think your family's got issues, guess what? The first family that ever lived, they had some problems. Come tell somebody they had problems. Listen, Adam and Eve had two sons. One was named Cain and one was named Abel. And one of them got jealous of the other and murdered his own brother. Tell somebody that's messed up. It is messed up. They had some family issues going on. And before you start to feel real good about yourself, guess what? That's your great, 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 great granddaddy on your mama's side and your daddy's side. Yeah, that's real messed up. Listen, we're all descendants of Adam. We all come from that same dysfunctional family. We're all part of the Adam's family, if you will. But here they are, and Cain murdered his brother Abel. And that's the tragic part of the story. But here's the confusing part of the story. This is what started the whole thing. One day, Cain and Abel both brought offerings to God. And God accepted Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's offering. Now, some of y'all, how many of you have wondered why God rejected Cain? Anybody ever wondered that other than me? Listen, you're about to find out right now. Genesis 4, verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And she said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. All the single ladies about to shout right now. And then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So Abel was a shepherd, and Cain was a farmer. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, I don't know if you've picked up on that, but the answer is right here in front of us in the Bible. You see, Abel was a shepherd, and the Bible says that he brought the firstborn before the Lord. Now, Cain, the Bible says that as time went by, in the process of time, Cain brought an offering. Abel brought the first fruits. Cain brought an offering. Abel put God first. Like Pastor Chris liked to say, Cain was bucket plunking over there, okay? Listen, Abel gave God the first of the first of the first, but Cain gave to God later on. Abel put God his first priority. Cain came to God on his own terms when he felt like it. And listen, do you see the difference here this morning? One put God first, one just sort of acknowledged God. One said, God, you're going to get the first of the first. The other said, I'll give to you when I feel like it. See, what we have going on in Genesis chapter 4, we have the principle of the first in action, going back to the very first family. Now, don't get me wrong. Listen, you can give an offering anytime the Lord leads you to. Keep those cards and letters coming in, amen. You can give an offering whenever God leads you, and that's something my wife and I do. We love to give offerings, and there are times when God will lead us to do that, but here's the deal. You can bring an offering, but if you're not also putting God first, you're missing out on his blessings. Abel put God first, and Cain put God later on, and that's the difference. God has got to come first. Listen, I think about when I was in school. I was a decent student. I wasn't a straight A student. I was a solid A, B, A, B, A, B, C, A, B, A student, okay? Listen, I did pretty well, but occasionally there were classes when it was a subject matter that I didn't like and I wasn't interested in. And if I wasn't interested in it, I struggled. I mean, I struggled. The teacher would say, do your homework, and I would go home, and I'd play piano until I fell asleep, okay? And I would show up the next morning, and she said, where's your homework? And I said, I didn't do it, but let me get some extra credit so I can make up for it. See, I didn't want to do what was expected of me. I just wanted to do extra to make up for my lack of obedience to what the teacher said. And listen, there are too many extra credit Christians going on when God said obedience is better than sacrifice. Listen, don't try to make up for your lack of obedience to God by giving an offering here or giving an offering there. Offerings are great. Sacrifice is great. Extra credit is great. But what God is looking for from you and from me is basic obedience to his word. God comes first. We're almost done. I'm on my last one this morning. Some of y'all are glad. Number one, the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Number two, the first fruits must be offered first. Number three, the tithe goes to God first. Leviticus 27:30 says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So the firstborn belongs to God. The first fruit belongs to God. And the Bible says that the tithe belongs to God. Now, there are people out there who say, whoa, hold on, Pastor. Tithing was a part of the law. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace, so I don't tithe. And let me tell you why that bothers me. That bothers me for a couple reasons. First of all, tithing goes way back before the law of Moses ever came. You see, Jacob tithed 400 years before the law. Abraham tithed almost 500 years before the law was given. But really, if we're going to be honest this morning, it really goes back to the very beginning. The first has always belonged to God. We talked about Cain and we talked about Abel. And before they were even born, did you know that God put Adam and Eve in a garden? There were beautiful trees throughout the whole garden. And God talks to them and he says, you can eat of any tree in the garden except that one. Don't touch that one. That one belongs to me. And you know what God was teaching Adam and Eve? He was teaching them stewardship. That there is a portion that belongs to God, and that's his, and that's holy, and everything else is for our benefit, but that portion belongs to him. Okay? And when you bring your tithe to God, and when you bring him offerings, this is actually going beyond the law. This is part of a law called the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. The Bible says in Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest will never cease. You see, sowing and reaping is a principle that God has established as long as the earth remains. So yes, tithing happens long before the law, and guess what? It happens after the law. Let's look at the New Testament and see what Jesus said about tithing. He said in Matthew 23:23, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? And Jesus called them hypocrites. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Okay, now, I don't know if you read that or not, but Jesus literally says in Matthew 23:23, yes, you should tithe. Can I say something? That one verse is enough to settle the issue for me. If the one who saved me, and trust me, I needed to be saved, and you did too. If the one who saved us said, yes, you ought to tithe, then I don't question it after that. I just believe it because Jesus said it. To me, that settles it. But it amazes me how many people say, well, tithing was part of the law, so it's bad. Look, there are a lot of things under the law. Are they all bad? Listen, I ain't gonna lie to you this morning. I love to eat ribs and I love grilled shrimp. So I don't believe in everything in the law, but not everything that was in the law is bad. And let me prove it to you. Honor your father and mother was in the law. Does that mean that as Christians we don't have to do that anymore? No, but we still do because that's a principle of God. The law says, thou shalt not kill. Does that mean that it's okay to kill people? If it was, y'all would see me running over people on Berkeley for driving 21 miles an hour in a 35 mile per hour zone. But I can't do that because it's, even though it's under the law, it's not okay for us to murder anybody. Will you all agree with me on that? Just because the law says it and just because we're under grace and not the law doesn't mean that these principles of God no longer apply to us. And as far as I can tell, the tithe or the first fruit still belongs to God. Because God declared it. He said, it belongs to me and it's mine. And for those of you who respond by saying, I'm not under law, but I'm under grace, let me explain to you what you're saying. Because grace is far more powerful than the law. Grace exceeds the law every time. And Jesus taught this. The law says you can't commit adultery, but Jesus said you can't even look at somebody and lust in your heart. The law says you can't kill anybody, but Jesus said you can't be angry at somebody and slander them. You see, grace always exceeds the law every single time. So you're telling me that you're under grace, you're not under the law. Guess what? You must be a radical giver. Uh-huh. I got 2.5 amens on that. Somebody say A, and then you realize what I said, and the man just dropped off. All right. Listen. Listen, we talk about grace. We're not under the law anymore. But for those, if you would really study the New Testament, some of you would cling to that Levitical law and say, please let me give 10%. Because if you look at the New Testament in the book of Acts, the Bible says that Christians sold everything they owned and they had everything in common. Now, if you want to get under grace, that's what I'm talking about. That's radical giving, where everything you have belongs to God. So the Jews gave a tenth. But the early church, these radical, crazy people called Christians, they gave everything. Some of y'all are like, sign me up for the law. Listen, I'm not here to tell you to sell everything. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit deal with you on what you need to give. But this is what I want you to understand, is that the tithe goes to God first. And tithing is really more about being first than the actual percentage. Now, yes, God has established the tithe as the 10% of your increase. And God established the tithe as a percentage to be fair to everybody. He could have said, you got to pay me $5,000. You got to give me $1,200,000,000. You got to give me 50 cents every second for the rest of your life. God could have said that. He could have said, I'm going to charge you $100 a day for the air you breathe. But God didn't say that. He said, everybody bring me 1/10. Of your increase. So it doesn't matter how much you make, God is asking the same percentage of your income. And that's great, because tithing is not about how much you give, it's more about the order in which you give it. Okay? And this is what I want you to understand. Tithing is really about putting God first. First and foremost, the tithe goes to God first. Back to Exodus 13. God didn't say, once your sheep has 10 little lambs, then give me one of them. Again, God said, no, give me the first, and then I'll bless the ones that come later. Let me give you a practical illustration. I talked about school today. I'm going to give you a little math equation this morning, okay? Let's say that you have a landscaping business, and you come over to the church, and you come and you redo all of our flower beds, and you do new shrubs and new bushes everywhere, and you just redesign everything. And then we sit down in the office, and you show me all of your expenses and how much the plants cost and how much you had to pay your employees. And let's say that after everything is done, you've got $1,000 left over. And if I take and I give you 10 $100 bills, what is the tithe? What is the tithe of that $1,000? That's right, $100. $100 is the tithe of that. It's the tithe of the increase. And now listen, which one of those $100 bills is the first? I'm going to teach you something. Are you ready? The first one is not the first one that goes in your hand. It's the first one that leaves your hand. The tithe is not the first $100 bill that goes in your hand. It's the first $100 bill that leaves your hand. You see, tithing is more about the order in which you give than it is the amount that you give. Tithing, first and foremost, above anything else, above a dollar amount, tithing is about putting God first. Somebody say, God comes first. Uh-huh. God comes first. And I hope that after today you understand that tithing is about putting him first. Listen, don't give the first portion of your income to the mortgage company. Why? Because the mortgage company can't bless the rest of it. Don't give the first portion of your income to the electric company. They might have power, but they don't have the power to bless your finances. Put God first and God will bless the rest. Now listen to me. You better pay your bills. I'm not telling you not to pay your bills. God don't bless no scrubs, amen? You need to honor God by putting him first. Somebody say that again. God comes first. Now, let me just throw in a little time out here. I'm not being legalistic about this, okay? If I get paid and before I can write my tithe check, and if you're under the age of 25 years old, a check is a little piece of paper that we used to write stuff on and use instead of money. But listen, if I get paid and before I can write that tithe check, let's say that the cell phone company, let's say the Verizon Wireless drafts money out of my account, I'm not going to sit there and cry and say, great, now I'm be cursed. Okay, if I go to write out the tithe check and I look in the checkbook and my wife wrote a $45 check at Walmart to buy groceries, I'm not going to go fuss her out and say, what are you trying to do, kill us? Right? I'm not being legalistic about that. Listen, but what I want you to get is that you make a conscious decision to put God first and give him the first fruits, all right? I'm not trying to rewrite and give you another set of laws to live by, but I want you to leave with this heart and this mindset that God comes first in my life. We honor God by putting him first. So as we get ready to leave this morning, I want to challenge you today, okay? I want to challenge you this morning. Now, I've not been sitting down going through the tithing record, so I don't know who's current and who's not. That's between you and God this morning. But if you are not tithing, if you are not putting God first in your finances, I want to challenge you. In fact, I dare you to tithe for a year and see what God does in your life. I dare you to do that this morning. Listen, tithing is the only thing, the only time that God ever said, test me, try me. God said, test me in this, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you won't have room to contain. How do we test God? By bringing the tithes into the storehouse. Listen, when God talks about the tithe, he never uses the term give. Because when we bring the tithe to God, we're not giving something that's ours to him. We're returning something that's his anyway. We're returning it to him. So when you tithe, you're actually bringing it back to God and acknowledging him. Do you see the difference? You see, you bring the tithe, but where do you bring it? Into the storehouse. What is the storehouse? Let me tell you what I believe the storehouse is, and I've always believed this ever since I've been a believer. I believe that the storehouse is the place where you worship, the place where you're fed the word of God, and the place where you fellowship. The storehouse is the local church. That doesn't mean that you can't send offerings to other ministries. Listen, I do that. My wife does that. But the tithe is not what you send out. It's what you bring in. The Bible says, bring the tithes into the storehouse. So today I challenge you, tithe for 1 year and see if God is telling the truth or not. Test God. Don't test my word. Test God's word. Okay? Put him first. Now let me give you another disclaimer before I close. You've got to do your part. Don't sit there and don't pay your light bill and don't pay your rent and get evicted and your babies go hungry and try to blame God. Come on. Listen, I don't know any other way to put this. Can I just say what I'm thinking? Don't be stupid about it, okay? Don't be dumb about it. Listen, you have to do your part. Okay, the Bible says that people who don't provide for their own household are worse than an infidel, and they denied their faith. So you have an obligation to set a budget. Amen? God will do his part, but you've got to do your part. Listen, develop a budget and stop wasting money. All of us waste money. I waste a lot of money on food. Listen, I went to go see that movie Seabiscuit. I bought a ticket. I didn't know it was about a horse. I thought I was going to see biscuits because I love food, okay? Bojangles. Listen, some of you have a retirement portfolio. I have a whole room full of Bo-Berry biscuits, all right? I love food. This is an area of my life where I have to be controlled, and maybe that's not where you struggle. Listen, maybe for you it's something else, but listen, let me tell you something. God comes first. Jesus comes before the Marlboro man. Oh, Lord, I'm going to get some letters about that this week. Come on. Listen, you need to let somebody else lose a lottery this week, okay? You need to learn how to develop a budget and don't waste money. And listen, I promise you, if you do your part and you put God first, you'll be amazed at how many things change in your life. And here's my final thought. I'm going to say one last thing. I'm going to leave you alone. But Exodus 13, let's look at verse number 14. The Bible says, in days to come, When your son asked you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Now remember, this chapter is talking about taking the firstborn and sacrificing it to the Lord. And God is saying to them in verse 14, one day your children are going to come to you and one of them might say, Dad, we're in the ranching business. And we've got a good business, but Dad, I've noticed you do something. Every time one of our sheep or one of our cattle has a firstborn, you take it and you sacrifice it to God. Dad, don't you understand? We'd have a lot more money if you wouldn't give up all of the firstborn. And here's what God said. When your son does that, take your son and say to him, son, I need to let you know something. Our family wasn't always in the ranching business. As a matter of fact, we used to be in slavery and we didn't even own any sheep. But God, with his mighty hand, delivered us out of bondage. And that's why we gladly give all of the firstborn of all the lambs. Listen, I want this to really sink in this morning because I had this experience with my own father. I remember as a young boy, I went upstairs to Dad's office and I sat down and he was writing out the family tithe check. And I looked at the amount and my eyes got big. Because listen, when you're a small child, any amount seems like a whole lot of money. I said, whoa, Dad, that's a whole lot of money. Why are you giving that to the church? And he sat me down and he said, son, I want to tell you something. Daddy wasn't always a Christian. Daddy used to be a bad man. But God, with his mighty hand, delivered your daddy and set your daddy free. And because he did that, that's why it's an honor for me to give my first portion to the Lord. And that's why we do that. And listen, I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this, of honoring God by putting him first, not only will it change your life, it will change the lives of your children. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit here today. And Lord, this morning we ask that you would help us to put you first. Help us, God, to put you first in our finances, first in our relationships, first in our careers. Lord, first in all that we do. Lord, you gave your all for us. And God, may we all come to the place where we honor you by giving you our first and our best, because you're worthy of it. God, I pray for those here this morning who've not been tithing, who've not been putting you first, but they want to make that commitment to you today. God, I pray that you would help them, that you would give them wisdom. And God, as they trust in you, that they would come to realize that your word is true, that your promises are real. I thank you that you are an abundant God and you can do more with 90% that's blessed than we can do with 100%. God, give us the faith, the boldness, the courage. Give us the know-how and the wisdom, the practical steps, God, to put you first, not only in our finances, but in every area of life. We thank you for your blessings, and help us, God, to never forget that you've blessed us, not just for ourselves, but so that we could be a blessing to others. Lord, you want to enrich your people because we are the light of the world. And this gospel of Jesus Christ needs to be preached not only in Goldsboro, but to the ends of the earth. Father, thank you for helping us to put you first. With everybody still praying this morning, with everybody's eyes closed, let me tell you about the most generous person who ever lived. The most generous one who ever lived. The one who gave more than any other person, and that's God himself. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his firstborn. He gave the clean to redeem the unclean. Listen, we're all born into sin, every one of us. We're all part of the Adams family. We all have issues. We've all failed God at some point in life. And really, honestly, if I was going to be 100% honest, none of us deserve the mercy of God. But God offered it to us anyway. So if you haven't given your life to Jesus, listen, you want to give God the first, give your heart to him today. Surrender your life to him. And listen, if you put God first in your life, everything else will be blessed. No, I'm not telling you that all your problems are going to disappear, but I'm telling you this. When you're serving God, it doesn't matter what's going on the outside. You can have the peace of God on the inside. When you don't know what to do, you can trust in God to sustain you and to lead you and to guide you. And most of all, when this life is over, you have the promise and the assurance of God that you'll spend eternity with Him in heaven. If you're here this morning and you're not serving God, I want to give you the opportunity right now in this moment. God offers love. He offers mercy. He offers forgiveness to anybody who simply comes to Him. The Bible says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. Imagine that you and I are sitting down for lunch and we both sit at the table and I look you in the eye and I say, I've got a gift for you. Imagine if I take that gift and I set it on the table and I say, this is yours, and I slide it across the room. Now imagine instead of taking that gift that you get up and you walk away. Listen, that's how salvation works. The Bible says it is the gift of God. You don't earn it. You don't pay for it. You don't live good enough to deserve it. It is simply a gift that God gives you. And right now, God is sitting across the table from you. He's saying, here is the gift of salvation. Here is the gift of forgiveness. Here is the gift of eternal life. This is my gift for you. Will you receive it? And this morning, you can either take that gift or walk away. But I urge you this morning, accept God's gift of eternal life. Accept His gift of salvation. Nobody loved you like God loves you. Will you receive His gift this morning? If that's you today, you want to receive God's gift of mercy, you want to receive a brand new start, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to help you make that decision. In fact, I want us to all pray this prayer out loud. Pray with me this morning. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. God, forgive me. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Lord, I acknowledge that I need to be saved. And I acknowledge that Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I thank you for loving me. Even though I was unclean, you gave your life for me. And I say, thank you, Jesus. And right now, by faith, I receive that gift of salvation. I receive that gift of eternal life. And I give my life to you. And with your help, I'm going to live for you the rest of my life in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime. Listen, that's what it really means to put God first, is give your life to Him first and foremost. Put Him first and God will bless the rest. How many of you say, I learned something today? Will you just wave and say, listen, I don't know about you, but I learned a little something studying this week. God has opened my eyes and reminded me that, hey, He comes first. Will you stand to your feet today as the prayer team makes their way this morning? As our prayer team gets in place, I want us to make a declaration before we go. Are you ready? Come on, let's make the devil nervous. Let's make the devil sweat a little bit. Let's make him bite his nails this morning. Let's make a declaration. I want you to serve notice on the devil today. Come on, say, devil, I don't belong to you anymore. I don't live for you anymore. You're not the Lord of my life anymore. Because I belong to Jesus. I am His. He is mine. I am saved. I am forgiven. I am set free. And I am healed because of Jesus Christ. Now make this declaration. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I'm a new creation. I'm saved. Heaven is my home. And Jesus is my Lord. Come on, give Him praise this morning. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We give you glory. God, I thank you for every person who made that decision this morning. If you're here today and you accepted Jesus Christ for the first time, maybe you rededicated your life, I want to encourage you to fill out one of these forms. Drop it off at the Welcome Center, or you can bring it forward to our prayer team. We want to pray for you and get some resources in your hands. And we'd love to see you here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for our Foundations class. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this day. God, we're putting you first by coming together on this Sunday morning to worship you and to seek your word. And God, help us to put you first in every area of life. God, I pray your blessings on every person here. God, be with them, strengthen them. May they walk in your favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, I love you. God bless you. If